This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown, presented by the Sportscast. Today is October 11th. You will see the show on October 12th. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch TV, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast. Visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast, on the iOS App Store. I am Al West. That is Tyler Turner. How are we doing, sir?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Looks like you finally started to catch up to me, sir.
Yep, gave you a good old butt whipping.
Yep, you kicked my butt this week. I congratulate you on that. I mean, I've been waiting on it, so I knew it was going to happen. The only question was when, not if. So
smoked you like roasted turkey.
You know what? I'm still ahead, so I'll take that. But it's when I start to get behind, then I'll start to worry a little bit. How about that? But today we're doing it on the 11th instead of the 12th. So when we look at some of the picks, the points or the spreads may go up a little bit or down a little bit. We wanted to make sure that we got them in just because this week we're a little bit busier than usual. But we wanted to make sure that if you are following along, you can see how we're doing. Right now, for the final tallies, I am up 35-32. But, Tyler, what was the score that we just checked out this week? The final tally for the week?
Oh, I was 14 out of 18. You were 9 out of 18.
Okay, so you see, this week I got half, so that's something. But Tyler, he taught me a thing or two, and that BYU game, he was right. I was wrong about that. I openly admit it, but I wanted to make sure that I said that first of all before we get into everything. That being said, for Ohio State, even though they did win the last 2 weeks, one thing I forgot to mention in the last episode, for Mayan Williams tying or breaking an Ohio State record with 5 touchdowns in 1 game. Not sure if you heard about that, but that was something that you don't always see a lot of. And for him, 3 of the touchdowns were over 50 yards.
Man, I wonder what it's going to be like playing teams that aren't actually crippled, like the guys didn't get out of, like, you know, literally wheelchairs. It's going to be.
Well, sir, once you're in the top 5, you can let me know. How about that?
What'd you say?
Once Oregon's in the top 5, you can let me know. How about that?
Oregon's offenses look just as good as Ohio State's.
We're averaging over 50 points a game, so we'll see. I mean, I'm curious to see because it's going to be a good end of the year. And besides, I want to see how you guys run the Pac-12 and how we run the Big Ten. Just because
Oregon had that one terrible game where they got blown out of the building, but if it wasn't for that, Oregon has looked as good as almost anyone, to be honest with you.
That's true. That's true. It's more just seeing if they can keep it up and if they have any slip-ups along the way. That's the only thing I'm worried about, just like for my team, too. I'm curious to see if we have any real slip-ups. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but we still got some big games that are coming up.
You do got some big games.
So why don't we do a recap of the picks we made last week.
Yep. So the first game we did was Tennessee versus LSU, over under 64, Tennessee by 2.5. What did Tennessee win by, 27?
I'm not exactly sure. It sounds right, though.
Yeah, I think it was like 37-10. Yeah. So that was a good game for you. You picked the Tennessee victory, the cover, and I think you picked the over. So you're wrong on the over. I was wrong on everything. This was my only bad game. What's your thoughts?
Well, Herndon Hooker leaving Virginia Tech going to Tennessee. It seems like that's the best choice he's made in his college football career, and he's getting himself has a better chance for a Heisman contender, but I'm just curious to see how they're going to do the rest of the year, because this week is going to be a big game for them, but he's looking really good. I'm not going to lie. He's looking really good.
Yeah, Tennessee, I mean, they've been really super impressive. LSU's not very good. They were lucky to win the week before. Auburn Lily had turned the ball over four times. I think LSU is really a 6-7 win team. They just have some serious depth issues still on the roster. But yeah, Tennessee's good. They won by 27 at Baton Rouge. I'm looking forward to this week's game. I think this is a game that if Bryce Young doesn't play, I really like Tennessee's chances. Now, Bryce Young plays. It's still Alabama. It's Bryce Young. It's still Nick Saban. But without Bryce Young, I just don't. Hendon Hooker is going to score. He's going to score. And I don't know if the other guy can score as much. So we'll get into that. Second game, Washington State versus USC, over under 67. USC by 13. I picked USC to win outright, Washington State to cover, and the under. I was wrong with the cover. I was right about the other two. I believe, I don't have yours in front of me. I think you had USC winning. I think you also had USC covering, and I think you went with the over.
Yeah, I said USC over cover, and I said the score was going to be closer to 49 to 31.
Yeah, so there was a couple you did last week, and I'm like, I was like, whatever. He can do it. He's been beating me. But I'm like, Washington State has had a top 25 defense all year. Their offense hasn't been as good. So I was having a hard time seeing them score that many points. And USC's offense hasn't been as good the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
And so the game turned out that way, 30 to 14. It was kind of an ugly game, a lot of penalties, and not that much offense, honestly. So it played out where the only thing I was wrong on was Washington State just barely didn't cover. Barely. I mean, they actually had a chance at the end. They went for a touchdown instead of if they would have kicked a field goal, no, they wouldn't. It would have been 13, so they still wouldn't have covered. But whatever. Good victory by USC. I don't know about USC though.
It seemed like Caleb Williams was running for his life a lot of the game, honestly, to me.
Yeah, the three games that they've played in the Pac-12 conference, their offense has been inconsistent at times. They just you know, the defense is coming through. The defense is holding teams enough, making turnovers, giving up yards, but causing turnovers. You're going to see. They play Utah this week. You'll see my prediction. At some point, USC just does not look good enough as to catch up with them, and I think it's this weekend. So, I still think USC loses 2-3 games.
Okay.
I still think USC loses 2-3 games.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, do you not see that?
I do. I'm just curious to see which ones. I mean, the thing is, I'm waiting to see how Lincoln Riley does, because the expectations that he expected are going to snowball and it's not going to be as many wins as he thought he was going to get. Just because the way that he was a coach, even at Oklahoma, it took at least a year or two for him to get the team how he wanted so that he could just start having the offense and defense play up to how he wanted it.
Well, he made the playoffs in his first year at Oklahoma. So, I mean, that's pretty good. but USC, I don't know. They still had holes in the rosters. I think most people predicted them to win 9-10-ish games. So if actually they made the playoffs, that would exceed expectations. If they won the Pac-12, I think that would exceed expectations. I think actually finishing like 9-3 and 10-2 would be more what people would have expected this year. I just don't. Utah was the favorite. Remember, I picked them to make the playoff. I think you picked them to win the Pac-12. And
Lisa,
I don't think Utah's going to win it. They have to turn it around here. I mean, they have to win the rest of their games to even get a chance at the Pac-12 title. And I don't know if they beat Oregon. I wouldn't pick them to beat Oregon. At Oregon, a team that hasn't lost there since 2018, and they're playing pretty well. I wouldn't pick them to win that. And therefore, I don't even know if Utah goes back to the Pac-12 title game. I wouldn't be shocked if it's UCLA versus Oregon, but we can talk about that later. BYU versus Notre Dame, over under 53. Notre Dame 3.5. I picked Notre Dame to cover and the over. Notre Dame covered, and it was the over. You picked BYU
and the over.
And the over. So you got the over right. So good. Congrats on the over. Notre Dame pretty much dominated that game. Now it got a little close at the end there because they kind of, but for most of that game, Notre Dame was the better team.
They were.
It wasn't a very close game. The final score was closer than what actually Notre Dame statistically dominated that game.
It felt like they kind of took their foot off the gas after halftime, somewhat, you could say. Or like right before halftime when BYU got the score. And then the second half, how they got within a touchdown. Then you're just like, okay, maybe this is going to be a better game. But then Notre Dame just was like, yeah, no, get back behind. You're not going to win this game.
So what happened? Come on. You had BYU winning. You had them covering. What happened? What happened?
I thought they were going to score more points, but the first half they just laid an egg against Notre Dame. They just couldn't score.
Wait a minute. Go check the tape. Did I say that Notre Dame, like when you were saying some of the points, I'm like, they're not going to score that many points at Notre Dame. Yep. At Notre Dame still has a good defense. Notre Dame played your Ohio State. Your Ohio State that you're like sitting there saying they've scored 70 points a game. They've killed.
I never said 70, sir. I said 50.
Whatever. I'm over exaggerating. How many points did they score against Notre Dame?
They scored 31.
No, 21.
31.
No, you guys won 21-10. Okay, look it up right now. Look it up right now. Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Don't try to move the goalposts.
Okay, it was 21-10.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So your high powered offense that you think is the best, which I think there's high likelihood that Ohio State, Notre Dame at Ohio State held them to 21 points. But you thought BYU with not as high powered of offense was going to go into Notre Dame and was going to put up this offensive performance.
Yeah.
Notre Dame is good defense. I mean, they have a pretty good defense. Even North Carolina, you know, a team that has a really good offense, they ended up getting 32, but that was late. Notre Dame dominated most of that game. Notre Dame is pretty good defense. Notre Dame is a pretty good defense.
Well, I mean, just how Marcus Freeman, when he was talking, the way when he was talking after the first few games, he was like, hey, we got to do a lot better. So, I mean, I'm glad that they're doing better, but it was a bad beat by me, I admit it, but I would thought that BYU was going to show up more than they did, and unfortunately they did not.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, I think Notre Dame still has things to work on offense. I still don't think they're very explosive. I think they're a little bit one-dimensional. They have a good tight end. They can run the ball a little bit. It's their defense that, I mean, if they're playing teams that they are able to basically control them defensively, all they need to do is score more. And I still think Notre Dame's an 8, 9, 10. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat USC. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, they'll be able to stop them, and they probably would be able to score enough. Clemson's good. Notre Dame could still beat Clemson. Clemson still's not a fire-powered offense. I think Notre Dame will really struggle to score in Clemson. I think that would be a pretty low-scoring game. But Notre Dame has pretty good defense. It's a pretty good defensive squad under Marcus Freeman. So when they hold Ohio State to 21 at home, you have to give credit where credit is due.
I mean, I give credit, but my rebuttal is it was the first game of the year, so you didn't really know what to expect completely.
What does that have to do with Notre Dame's defense?
You didn't know how the offense and defense are going to play, because you can see in the first game of the year, things can change after the first game. I mean, your Oregon Ducks are the perfect example. They got destroyed by Georgia. Now they're back on a winning streak.
But hold on. That's a little bit of a red herring in this. Where was where did you see deficiency in Notre Dame's defense?
Their safeties and their corners. You could tell that they were trying to get – the issues were there because you saw that their linebackers and their defensive ends and tackles were making plays. But the cornerbacks and the safeties, you could tell that they were struggling, even with Jaxon Smith-Njigba not playing after he got injured for his hamstring.
Okay, I'm trying to say that again. Sorry, I missed it. I'm trying to look for Notre Dame's efficiency numbers.
Okay. Because I was saying the cornerbacks and the safeties, they were the ones that were having more of the issue because they stopped our running game for the most part. The second half, the running game was into play, but in the first half, you could tell that when the offense started getting going because Jaxon Smith-Njigba was hurt. You saw Marvin Harrison, you saw Emeka Egbuka, and you saw some of the other receivers stepping up.
I agree. There's only one real bad issue with this, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
No other team has Marvin Harrison, Emeka Egbuka, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I mean, I understand they might have started having trouble. Everyone and their dog will. Who's not going to have problems? There's NFL teams that will have a problem because those guys are going to be all first-round picks. Just saying. Okay, next one. Utah versus UCLA, over under 64. Utah by 4.5. UCLA, the winner and the under. And hold on. Well, the final score was 42. That I didn't get the under, so I got that one wrong. So my score is wrong because I got my score wrong. So I didn't get 14 out of 18. It must be 13 out of 18. Anyways, I was wrong in the under. Go ahead.
I picked UCLA and I picked the over.
So you were right on the over. You were right. Mm-hmm. UCLA. So we're both right on UCLA. So we might need to recalculate those scores.
Okay. Well,
did you calculate yours properly?
I need to go back and take a look at mine, honestly. We'll do that after the show so that we can figure it out. But
I know.
The main thing is we know is I'm ahead, so it's all good. The world keeps going, so we're okay.
That's true. So what do you think about the UCLA versus Utah game?
It was a beating, basically, because I knew that even though Utah, the defense, okay, here's how I consider it somewhat of a beating, okay? UCLA, when we talked last week, you were like, they're not going to be able to replicate what they did the week before. Utah, they did come into play. They did show they wanted to play, but UCLA, they wanted it more. That's what it seemed like to me.
I mean, I think both teams want it. How do you test? Is there like a test who wants it more? So I don't think it was a beating, so I'm not going to agree with you on that. It was actually statistically, because it wasn't. Statistically, it was actually a much closer game than like UCLA versus Washington, where UCLA was dominating yards per play, time of possession, statistically dominated until the fourth quarter. This game was actually it was basically a back and forth. Utah was actually more efficient. Utah had 10 more first downs than UCLA. But then Utah did struggle to stop UCLA, and then in the middle of the fourth quarter, the big turnover by Cameron Rising that led to a scoop and score by UCLA pretty much put the game away. I wouldn't call it a beating because actually more efficiency was on the side of Utah, but UCLA won and they were able to consistently get the big plays in specifically the passing game, and we're able to stay ahead the whole entire game. And then eventually Utah makes a big mistake that kind of broke the game a little more open. But I wouldn't call it a beating. But yes, it was an impressive victory for UCLA. I still don't love UCLA defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there is some you can get definitely yards on UCLA. Now, they can get after the quarterback pretty good, but you could get some yards on UCLA. And it, when they play Oregon here in 2 weeks, Oregon's going to get yards, especially at home. So I think I wonder if that's going to come back and bite UCLA, because UCLA on defense does give up a lot of yards. But, yes, they were able to win. Good victory. Congratulations.
Okay, in that case, how about I phrase it differently then? UCLA, they were able to, in the end, make more plays that gave them the win. How about that?
That, I mean, that's, yeah. It's,
okay, that's, we'll say it like that instead.
A beating sounds like they, like, took them out back and beat them. Kansas versus TCU at Kansas, over under 67.5. TCU by 7. TCU covers in the over. TCU barely covered, but they did cover. They got the over and they got the win. Did you pick Kansas?
I picked Kansas and the under.
So you lost. Yeah, I was an over.
I did. I did lose. I mean, I thought that this was going to be the game where Kansas was going to be able to show everyone, hey, we're here.
Loser.
We're going to do well.
Loser. What?
Hey, it happens. It happens. But it was still a really good game. And I mean, Kansas, even though they lost their starting quarterback and they had their backup quarterback come in, their backup, for the most part, he did the best job he could. And I was even watching the end of the game and I saw that he literally had them close until the fourth down play. And it just. Once that happened and TCU got the ball back, you just like, okay, hey. But they fought every step of the way. They made it to where it was a game that I'm not going to say it was one of the best games of the year per se, but it was one of the games that when you're going to look at the year, it was a game that definitely was one of the more popular just because you saw that Kansas took TCU's best and they didn't back down at all.
Yeah, I was impressed by Kansas. I thought that actually TCU was going to get the better, but Kansas definitely, you know, game day was there. The crowd showed up. The backup quarterback played amazing. It was, it really was a barn burner. I was impressed with Kansas. I walked away a little more impressed with Kansas, honestly, than TCU. But I probably still should be impressed with TCU. They went on the road and won, and it was a big game for Kansas. So and TCU has to come back and play Oklahoma State this week. And that's not easy. So, I mean, back-to-back, really big game. So, I think that was a pretty good game. You know what? I'm totally wrong with my numbers. I got 6 wrong because I have another one that I'm wrong with here. Oklahoma versus Texas, the over-under is 66. Texas by 6.5. I picked Texas to cover in the over. Texas did cover. It was not the over. Mm-hmm. So, I'm 12 for 18. You're going to have to recalculate yours because it looks like my victory was a lot less.
Because I did Texas in the over and covering myself. Because, I mean, like we talked about last week, when you mentioned Quinn Ewers was coming back, which was very important, I did mention about Bijan Robinson, and how he, I believe he had 150 yards rushing, or 130, but he had at least two touchdowns as well, and then I think Ewers had 3 touchdowns.
I think you got 10 for 18. I got 12 for 18. So I did beat you, but not near as much as I thought. So I think we will go recalculate the end. It was a blowout. Oklahoma stinks. Texas is with Ewers. Texas is pretty good. Now everyone's hype in Texas. They might be the 4th best team. You know how the media always does that. Every time Texas breathes, it's like they're the best team to ever exist. It's like, oh, they won one game. It's like it's weird. I know the media really wants Texas to be good because they make a lot of money, but let's not overdo it. Now with Quinn Ewers. And a healthy Xavier Worthy with Bijan Robinson, it is a pretty dynamic offense. And their defensive line is pretty good. Could Texas win the Big 12?
Maybe.
Yeah, why not? I mean, the Big 12 is not that good. You have a bunch of solid teams, but Texas could beat Oklahoma State. Texas could beat TCU. Texas could beat Kansas. Texas could beat Kansas State. But they could lose to one or two of those teams too. And they already lost to Texas Tech. But with Quinn Ewers, they are pretty good. So, my son's hanging out over there. So that's my opinion on that. You got anything more to say?
Well, I mean, the thing about for Texas, the reason why you kind of hear everyone talk about Texas like that, it's just like you hear them talk about the SEC. Part of the reason is because ESPN is still doing as much promotion for the SEC, and because Texas has a Longhorn Network, which is sponsored by ESPN, they're going to try to butter up and bump up their conferences or schools as much as they can. That's why you don't hear them talk about, like, for Ohio State and Big Ten. Because you hear them talk about a little bit, but, you hear more SEC bias.
You don't think Ohio State gets love? I don't know.
I'm not saying they don't get some love, but when you look at some of the rankings at times.
Ohio State.
Yes.
No, I don't agree with you.
Okay. Hey.
Ohio State is widely considered. No, not at all.
Okay.
Where is Ohio State not ranked in the top three?
Okay, I can't answer that, but the thing is, at least there's one week this week where they should have been number one, even for a week.
No. They haven't beaten anyone. No.
Okay, so you're telling me a one-point win over Texas or a two-point win over Missouri?
Georgia beat Oregon 49-3. Oregon's the number 12 rated team in the country.
Yeah, but then Georgia almost lost to Mizzou.
It doesn't matter. They also beat a top 15 team by 46 points. They didn't lose. You also have to pick some of the victories. Or Ohio State's best victories over Notre Dame, who's still not ranked. I'm just saying, I could see a little more of an argument against Texas is ranked now. So Alabama even has a ranked victory. So Alabama's a ranked victory. So does Georgia has a really good ranked victory by a lot where they won by 46. And Ohio State has beaten their best teams, Notre Dame. They're still not ranked. And still, they're top three. I wouldn't say there's bias against it's bias against Ohio State. That's silly. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess it's more just watching how Desmond Howard makes his picks. How about that? We'll go down that road.
I'm just saying, if you said bias against, like, I don't think they're high enough on Illinois. I don't think they're high enough on Minnesota. I think they're, if you said and they overrank Kentucky, which I would agree with, or they overrank Ole Miss or stuff like that. This stuff I can agree with. Okay. But bias against Ohio State has to be – that's silly.
All right, fine. You know what?
We'll wait. There's not a time I don't hear them mention Ohio State as one of the three best teams. And if you get mentioned in the three best teams, you're going to make the playoff and you're going to have a chance to play in the national title. And Ohio State hasn't beaten a top 25 team. So I'm just stating some obvious things right here. I don't know. I just don't know if I agree with that one. Okay. This week.
Let's bring it on
to this week's win. Penn State versus Michigan over under 52.5. Michigan by 6.5. It's Penn State at Michigan. Let's clarify that. Who do you got?
I'm taking the over.
Really?
And as much as I want to bet against them, I'm going to pick Michigan, and I think they're going to cover.
Okay.
This is going to be their big – I think that this is going to be one of their stepping stones to show how they're going to do the rest of the year, because Penn State, I wonder if their focus is going to be on Ohio State when they play them. I think they play next week for the whiteout game.
So overlooking Michigan at Michigan?
Yeah, no. Because – yeah. A lot of teams have done that this year.
That's if you're playing like – that's like Penn State against like Rutgers. That's like Penn State against like Indiana. You're not going to overlook a top 10 team.
I want to see how Sean Clifford does, though, because Sean Clifford, I want to see how he does against Michigan's defense, and I want to see if Michigan – shows up and McCarthy has at least two or three touchdowns, because the majority of Michigan's offense the last few weeks has been more often Blake Corum or the running game than anything. That being said, I hope Mike Hart is able to be back within two or three weeks. That was scary with him having that seizure, and thoughts and prayers for him and his family. I hear he's back in Ann Arbor, so I hope he heals up. But that being said, I think Michigan's going to pull it out. I don't know how close it's going to be per se by the end, but I think it's going to be a good game.
So I agree. I do think Michigan wins, and I do think they cover. I go with the under. I think these teams that both have good defenses. If you look at the top 25 efficiency or advanced metrics, these are both top 25 defenses. I don't as much trust the offenses. I trust Michigan's offense more, and I trust it specifically at home better. I think they'll be able to run the ball. I think they'll be able to make a few players plays through the air. I'm looking at it being like a 28-17, 31-20. Maybe gets a little close to that under over under. Like the 52 is a pretty good number, but just under. So I'm going to do under Penn State. Michigan. Penn State's not going to overlook Michigan. They're not. I just don't think they're going to beat Michigan, because I think Michigan's a little better and it's at home. They're not going to overlook them. But I just think it's a Michigan victory at home. Game number two, Minnesota versus Illinois. Over under 39.5. Ooh, that's low. Minnesota by 6.5. It's Minnesota. I think this one's at Minnesota. Hold on. I have it Minnesota versus Illinois, but I think it's at Illinois versus. Let me just double check, because that does matter. Mm-hmm. It's Minnesota. Where is this at? Okay. Hold on. Minnesota football. Sorry, I want to get this right, because where it's at Illinois, and they have Minnesota favored by 6.5. Okay. Well, it's at Illinois, and it does matter. Home and away matters with young kids. With college kids, that really does matter. And I was going into this going to pick Minnesota, but at Illinois. Minnesota does have some injuries. Illinois does too. Their starting quarterback is. These teams both have good defenses. Both top 25 defenses in advanced metrics. I think Minnesota's the little better team. But Illinois played well. And Brett Bielema is a good coach. And it's at Illinois. I'm going to go 21-17 Illinois. I'm going to go with the under. I am going to – obviously Illinois covers because they win. I think they win it. I think they win it at home. I think they're able to get enough stops and able to kind of dig out an ugly victory. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. I don't love that their quarterback is possibly hurt. That makes me really not – because backup quarterbacks are backups for a reason. That could make a difference. I might regret doing – this is a game I might change my mind on. I'm going to follow the quarterback situation. I might change my mind on it. I'm also going to look at some closer advanced analytics, because why is Minnesota the 6.5-point favorite? I'm going to, for the show, go Illinois, but I might change my mind on this. So this one I'm not sure about. I'm going to look at some more analytics on it.
Yeah, because what's going on now is we're going to have you be the analytics person. I'm just going to be the person that I'm going to think about it and pick what I think that – could work, and then we'll see what happens at come next week. So
you could do whatever you want there, Alan.
Oh, I know, and that's why I make sure I do. But I mean, that's why I like knowing that you're going through analytics, so that way we can see if they're right or if they're wrong. That being said, I'm choosing Minnesota. I'm choosing the over. I'm choosing that they're going to cover, just because I want to see how PJ Fleck and Brent Bielema, how it is when they have their meeting. Because even though it is going to be at home, I think Minnesota is going to be able to come in and do okay. I'm not sure if it's going to be I mean, I thought about doing the under, but I'm gonna kind of pull off the same like I did at BYU. I just have this feeling I think it's gonna be over.
That you were being wrong said, with BYU, so maybe you shouldn't go with that feeling.
maybe not. But you know what? I'm okay risking it.
I'm telling you right now, I think where I got you last week was the over under. I think you go over too much. When they talk about betting, they tell you to go under more. Mm-hmm.
True.
Honestly, these are four good defenses and you're going over. Where's the logic to it? You can do whatever you want. You're close on everything else. You normally pick the winner outright. You seem to be doing good on the covers. It's the over-unders where I think you're losing it, man.
True. And I mean, I'm okay with that. But the thing is,
four good defenses. So you think going over with good defenses is a good one?
For some games, yeah.
Why?
Because my logic is very simple. With a good defense. Okay, here we go. With the good defense, either they're going to come to play and the points are going to turn out to be lower, or if they have a bad game, then it could be a blowout.
So you're going to bet a good defense has a bad game how's that logical? That's just like a shot in the dark. Yeah, I guess it could happen.
Well, I mean, a lot of games.
Your logic. Where's it now? I wouldn't say that was logic. It's actually illogical. But
remember, though, I have a degree in psychology, so it could be reverse logic. Yes. So,
oh my
gosh. We'll go with that. Yeah. But the thing is, there have been a lot of games.
That's your problem. Getting a degree in psychology.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, with watching some of these games, you thought that they were going to be close, and in the end, they turned out some of them were blowouts.
You need a degree in psychology for that. Oh, no. Okay. Alabama versus Tennessee, over under 65. Alabama by 7. This is Bryce Young. This is a Bryce Young thing. You go with this one. What are you going to go? Let's say Bryce Young plays. Go with Bryce Young plays.
I'm picking Alabama. I'm picking the over, and I'm picking the cover.
Jeez. Do you really have a problem with unders?
No, it's just when I watch the games, I expect a lot of points to be scored. That's what it is. I expect a lot of points to be scored, and a lot of times that's what happens.
You did pick the Iowa. Iowa, Michigan, you picked the over. That's right, you did.
And I missed by 2 points. I missed by 2 points.
Why you would ever pick an over in an Iowa game is just insane. Insane. Like, you could – you go under, even if you lose, who cares? You go under in an Iowa game. Alabama versus Tennessee. I'm going to go under again. No, I'm not. I'm going to go over, and I'm going to go Tennessee pulls off the upset.
Okay.
Tennessee pulls off the upset. Tennessee wins outright. NC State versus Syracuse. Oh, and my reasoning for that. I think Hendon Hooker's he's a really talented quarterback. And I think with his weapons on the outside, I think he's able to make plays at home. And even with Bryce Young, I think they can pull off the upset because I think Alabama has question marks in their secondary. And the best part of Alabama's defense is their pass rush. But Hendon Hooker is an elite athlete who I think is going to be able to still make plays outside the pocket. Anyways, NC State versus – do you have something to say?
Well, considering Hendon Hooker is 24 years old, let's hope he is able to finally figure it out because, I mean, in some ways I wonder if he's like Chris Winkie 2.0.
What do you mean?
Chris Winkie, before he went to Florida State, he was a minor league baseball player for, I believe, 8 years. Then he went to Florida State, won the Heisman.
I know. Winkie went to high school near me in Minnesota. How is Hooker like Winkie?
Because just for him being in college, playing college football for so long. So I think this was his fifth or sixth year. So
complete just like straw man. Okay. NC State versus Tennessee. Over, under. You know, you and San Diego are a lot alike. I don't know if you've ever told that before. I want to see you. Have you guys done a show together? You're like full of these. It's like, it's like, woo, strong. It's like birds. It's like ADD. NC State versus Syracuse. Over under 44. Syracuse by 3.5. It's at Syracuse. This is me picking right here, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to
go first. I want to hear your pick.
Neither of these teams have good offenses, but I know you're going to go over because it doesn't make sense. But NC State also has Devin Leary. They're the ones. NC State has Devin Leary hurt. If Devin Leary can't go, which actually I don't think he's going to be able to, how's NC State going to score? They have an average at best offense with him. They have a bad offense without him. But Syracuse is decent on offense. They're okay. They're pretty good on defense. They have won games. I don't think they're that good a team. I've seen them play a couple games. They shouldn't have beaten Purdue. Purdue usually literally fumbled the ball game away at the end. They really barely beat Virginia, and Virginia's not very good. I don't think Syracuse is very good. I think they're very overrated. I don't know. Oh, this game's ugly. I'm going to go under. I'm 24-17 NC State. Figures out how to pull out a victory. I think NC State's the better team. They have a really good defense. So there you go. NC State over Syracuse.
Syracuse over in the cover. I like them playing at home, and I think that Dino Babers is going to make sure that the team's ready to do well. And, I mean, they may have a defensive liability against NC State. I want to see how their offense is able to show up against them. That's the one thing I am a little bit worried about. But I think that when they're at home, I think that's going to make a big difference for for Syracuse.
Okay. Oklahoma State versus TCU over under 69.5, TCU by 3.5. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because of the game. I already know. I'm going to pick the Cowboys. I'm going to pick them. I'm going to pick the over. And what was the cover?
Over 69.5.
Well, besides that, did they say if it was?
Well, if they win, then they cover because it's
okay. I think Oklahoma State, I think that with the spread that Mike Gundy runs, I think that that's going – I mean, even though TCU can score, they proved that against Kansas. But I think that Oklahoma State has more weapons on offense and defense. And they've – I think their record in the Big 12 already is at least 2 or 3 wins, I want to say.
Yeah, they're both undefeated.
I like Oklahoma State just because every year Mike Gundy, how he has the team set up, they're always contending for the Big 12 title.
Oklahoma State, their defense has not looked near as good this year. It's on the road. You always struggle to – if you have trouble stopping teams at home, you're going to have struggle on the road. I think Quentin Johnson is going to have another big game. I think TCU wins this one. I think they beat Oklahoma State at home. Okay. And they cover. I have probably been a – oh, I didn't do the over-under, did I? I probably have it being like a 38-28 win, which isn't a cover. So I'm going to go under. That's a huge over-under. I'm going to go under Oklahoma State victory. I can't talk. Under TCU victory and a TCU cover. Mississippi State versus Kentucky. Over under 46, Mississippi State by 7. Will Levis is probably not playing. And if you saw the backup last week, he ain't worth a crap. That's why they lost to South Carolina. So it's at Kentucky. 46 is the over under, Mississippi State by 7. But Will Levis is probably not playing. It's my turn, right? Without Will Levis, their offense isn't good. Kentucky's offense isn't great with Will Levis. So without it, I have Mississippi State. I think they have a pretty good defense. I have Mississippi State winning this about 31-14. I'm going to go under, and Mississippi State covers and wins.
I'm going to take Kentucky with the upset and the over.
You're just, okay, I'm sorry. You're just winging stuff this week. There is like no logic behind your things this week. If you even do remotely close to me, I'm done with this because there's no sense. You're like picking backup quarterbacks who looked terrible last week to win and get overs and teams that can't score to score. Forget it.
But see, you got to remember, someone's got to play devil's advocate. And for me,
you're just going devil. You don't play devil's advocate just to do devil's advocate.
No, I'm but see, for pick, me,
I'm not picking separate with you. I'm picking because this is how I think. I'm trying to actually win. I'm not just like throwing crap at the fan. That's not.
I'm fun. Trying to win too. I mean, like I said, I've
you
got
are?
The
fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, the first couple of weeks, yes, you got me. But the last couple of weeks, some of your this week is like, okay. USC versus Utah, over under 65, Utah by 3. It's at Utah, USC at Utah.
All right, so... I'm probably going to regret this, but who was the point spread for this week for them?
Just 3. Utah by 3.
I'll pick Utah under and they cover.
Why are you going to regret that? That's like one of your best. That's
what it
probably,
is.
This is probably your only good pick.
What it is, I want to see.
I regret it.
Just
I'm
me,
actually being accurate.
I like going over just because I want to see if they can get a lot of points. But the thing is, I want to see how both defenses are, how they show up. Because you saw that in the game last week for USC, they were able to score somewhat. But their defense was the reason they stayed in the game a lot of the game. When they couldn't get any points on the board, their defense was bailing them out every time.
USC versus Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna go. Yeah. So we're in agreement here. I have the under. I'm gonna have because I think it's gonna be more like a 34-27 victory. I'm gonna go under. Utah covers. Utah wins outright. I think this eventually is the game that USC finally doesn't do enough offensively. And Utah at home is able to run the ball. They're a physical team at the line of scrimmage, and I think they're able to get USC at home. So, and Utah's going to bring it against USC at home. Mm-hmm. And Utah's one of the tougher teams at home. Utah has only lost one game in like 4 years at home, and that was during COVID when fans weren't allowed in the stands. So Bryce Eccles is a very tough place to win at, and Utah plays very well at home. So. I feel pretty good that Utah wins this game.
I just don't see Caleb Williams doing a whole lot. Because, I mean, when you were watching him last week, he was more running around than completing passes. I mean, he got knocked down, I want to say it was like 13 times, and he had, like 4 or 5 sacks at least.
He struggles against good defensive schemes. What I've noticed since he's playing college football. Mm-hmm. He's a great talent. He's a great athlete, great physical ability, arm, mobility, and all that. But when you plan a good scheme against him, he's not very accurate. He tends to miss reads. He sometimes struggles to get in tight windows. Mm-hmm. If you could game plan a good scheme around him, you can beat him. The worst thing you can do is send a bunch of guys after him. Like blitz him a bunch and stuff like that because mm-hmm. he's a really good athlete and he can make plays off script really well. The best you can do is like sit back and be like, Caleb, pick us apart. You have to throw into 8 men back and we'll send a couple guys after you. And you're running the risk of him getting a lot of yards on the ground, but he tends to get a little impatient. You make plays. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot, but he just is pretty inaccurate and does a complete – a very high percentage. That's what I noticed against better defenses. Well, dude, we'll see. You win for it. We went very different this week again.
We did, but I mean, part of the reason is, even though it's for analytics, I think that by going different for both of us, it makes it to where either it's high risk, high reward, or we're just like, oh crap, who's going to stay ahead and who's going to keep up?
We need, and you go double check what you got out of 18, because I'm going to go double check. I thought I did better, 12 of 18, a little surprised that after going back behind it, not doing so well. So I feel most confident. Okay, so let's pick our final say before we're done. You pick your team and I pick – well, Oregon doesn't play. So
neither does Ohio State.
Oh, they don't?
Yep, we're off this week.
Well, never mind. That ain't happening. And next week, Ohio State – do they play Penn State next week?
I believe so.
And then Oregon plays UCLA. So basically we go from not playing to be the two biggest – hold on. I don't know if Ohio State plays Penn State next week.
Let me
do Ohio State football. Because I thought that Oregon was the biggest game, and Ohio State versus Penn State would be.
We play Iowa on the 22nd. Penn State's the 29th.
So you'll be the biggest game on the 29th.
Yes.
And that's at Penn State. And the whiteout, that's a tough game.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa won't beat Ohio State. You have to score. You have to score. There's no way if you don't score, you're going to beat Ohio State. It's one thing. That's true. Know.
And I mean, for the picks we made this week, so for the ones that if I'm a little shaky about, I would say either the Syracuse one or the Minnesota I'm a little shaky about, but I still think it's going to come out okay.
You're not shaky about Kentucky without Will Levis? Did you watch them play last week without Will Levis?
Did not. Truthfully, I did not. I mean, I heard about it, but I have faith.
Okay, here's my question. If they did so poorly against not as good a South Carolina team, how are they going to do better against a much better Mississippi State team?
Well, I can't answer that other than what I can say is I'm a Commanders fan, and watching their game on Sunday, I was watching, they scored a touchdown.
No. There's nothing to do with the game I'm talking about. You're not even picking the same level. You're picking an NFL team, which is not – so if you picked another college team, I'm like, I still don't like that. No, I'm not picking some NFL team with NFL players. They'll use it. Tell me how Kentucky, who did not play well against not a good South Carolina team, how are they going to play better against a pretty good Mississippi State team?
I think that their coach is going to have a week to try to put them back in shape because, sure, South Carolina is not as good, but once the starter got hurt and the backup got thrown into action, he hasn't gotten as many reps as a starter. This whole week he's going to have reps with the first team, so it could make a difference.
That's true. It is at home. That's true, too. I added the home part. You didn't add that. Okay, got more reps at home. I think Mississippi State's pretty good. I think they're pretty good. Their offense, I think they have a pretty good quarterback. I think their defense is playing pretty good. I think Zach Arnett is one of the better defensive coordinators, especially in the SEC. I think Mississippi State's pretty good. That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, they're getting – hopefully they'll get back up to the level they were when Dan Mullen was the coach, so – keep my fingers crossed for that, though.
Mike Leach can coach.
Yes, he can coach.
Where's the other one? Syracuse. Honestly, Syracuse versus North Carolina State, I don't feel great about that. So if you want to, whatever. I'm a little surprised you said the over because North Carolina State does have a good defense. So that one might have been Minnesota. I mean, whatever. I don't know, but I don't feel very – so Minnesota versus Illinois, North Carolina State versus Syracuse, I might change on those two.
Okay.
The other games I'm not going to. You really like Oklahoma State. I really like TCU. One of us is going to be right. One of us is going to be wrong.
That's why it's fun.
USC versus Utah, we have the same pick, so we're either going to be totally right or totally wrong. Alabama versus Tennessee. I mean, you can't go wrong picking Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little risky going Tennessee. I mean, anytime you pick an upset at Alabama, it's a little risky. I think on the road, I think it happens. I don't know.
I mean, I know that the backup quarterback did lose two fumbles last week, and he kind of was a turnover liability, but when he was needed to show, I mean,
he wasn't good last week.
Yeah. But I mean, that's why the defense didn't show up.
Yeah, the defense, they didn't win because of Jay. I mean, he's why they almost lost.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the defense played plenty good enough. What's up, buddy?
Anderson had a workout.
My buddy's yelling at me now. My buddy, mm-hmm. What? Here's Sheppy. Get on the camera. Look. Get in. Sneak in.
There you go.
Sneak in. Look how handsome you are. You're a handsome man. I'll change your. He's getting tired. I did. I think we got this covered. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
Well, where will we find you on social media, sir?
At the Turner Cast. See how we do in over unders. And we did mention these are six top 25 matchups. Did we say that? Dude, no, we didn't say that. Six top 25 matchups. Now, do you think that all these teams are legitimate top 25 teams?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
But this way we'll find out they'll separate the men from the boys. So
I'm not convinced Syracuse is top 25. I'm not convinced Illinois is top 25.
Mm-hmm.
I will, honey. I'll change you. He's telling me he peed. I'm not convinced that Kentucky without Will Levis is not top 25.
Mm-hmm.
With Will Levis, they are. Who else am I not convinced? I mean, I think USC is. I think Utah is. I think obviously Alabama, Tennessee are. Mm-hmm. Penn State and Michigan are. I don't know if Penn State's is good, though. I'm not convinced Penn State's. Yeah, I'm waiting to see if Penn State is a top 25. I think they're a top 25 team. I don't know if they're a top 10 team.
Well, since you brought up Penn State, I'm just going to say one more thing about that. Did you hear that after Matt Rhule got fired, he could be taken over for James Franklin at Penn State? That was a rumor that just ESPN had today.
Oh, really? Well, okay. Do I think if Penn State open up, would Matt Rhule be the top candidate? Yes. Do I think – I believe he's a Penn State alum. I think his preference would be Penn State. Why would they fire James Franklin?
Well, he's underwhelmed the whole time he's been there.
No, he's not. That's not true.
Well.
No, that's not true. He's overwhelmed the whole time he's been there?
No,
that's
not under, true. Under.
He's underwhelmed. That's not true.
Well, I mean, how many Big Ten titles have they won?
They won. They're also playing in the same conferences as Michigan and Ohio State. Jim Harbaugh's only won one. James Franklin has four top 10 finishes. He's made New Year's Six Bowl four times, played in a Rose Bowl. He did win a Big Ten title. They had the last couple of years, the whole time he's been there, he's underwhelmed.
Well, I know that apparently in Happy Valley, a lot of people, he's not a very popular coach, which, I mean, we'll see what happens.
I just don't like when people make, like, so I have a little bit of an issue when people, I've heard, like, people say Jim Harbaugh has. I've heard people say that James Franklin has. And when I hear that, I just think people are so unrealistic. Like, I heard someone the last week, do you think Jim Harbaugh has? I'm asking you now. Do you think Jim Harbaugh is underwhelmed?
I do.
No, he hasn't. That's ridiculous. If you're winning 10 to 11 games every single year, you know how hard it is to do better than that?
True.
For saying a coach underwhelmed, they literally have to not be winning.
Well, the way that I look at it, or I know that some people look at it, they're going to say, how many Big Ten titles have you won? How many playoff appearances have you won?
You're going against one of the best teams in the last decades in Ohio State. Mm-hmm. A team that has, year in, year out, the best roster, one of the best rosters in college football.
Yes.
A team that has won multiple Big Ten titles, national titles, played for national titles.
Yeah.
If that's what you're comparing because they have not beaten them more, I that's silly. That's silly. That's silly.
I agree with that, but I mean, that's what you hear some of the boosters say. I mean, Harbaugh was a little bit special because Harbaugh, he was trying to get the NFL coaching job in the offseason. And when boosters, that didn't work, then he came back.
Maybe boosters might need to get, you know, a little bit of a like clue, like, you know, make the brain. Might. It's like underwhelming is Scott Frost in Nebraska.
That's good. That's true.
Underwhelming is I'm trying to think of another one that is
Herm Edwards.
Well, yeah, and he had controversy, but he that's Arizona State. Honestly, he didn't really underwhelm. He's pretty much been like every other Arizona State coach for the last 30 years.
Okay.
So when I'm thinking of underwhelming, Scott Frost literally could not make a bowl game. That's underwhelming. Trying to think of another coach that played. Oh, Clay Helton at USC.
Okay.
Where he had the best roster year in, year out, and could not go to the Pac-12 title. That's underwhelming.
You know what? I got one for you. I got a good one for you.
What?
Ken Karcher.
Yeah. But when some people are saying coaches that are winning 10, 11 games a year have won a Big Ten title. That have played in 3, 4 New Year's Six games, did make the college football playoff. When you're saying that's underwhelming, I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I've heard people say Brian Kelly underwhelmed and was overrated at Notre Dame.
Well, the thing was,
he made two college football playoffs. He made a national title game. He won 10 games like 5, 6 years. And I don't want to hear about how he got beaten by Alabama. Alabama has had one of the best rosters and one of the best runs in college football history. Everyone and their dog is beaten bad by them. That's not what you say a coach is overrated and underwhelmed for. It's just silly. It's dumb. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It's nonsense. No, it's nonsense. Nonsense. I want to hear people underwhelming. They actually underwhelm. I don't want to hear a bunch of spoiled, entitled Americans. Let me go on that rant. That because someone has not reached the absolute pinnacle, Chip Kelly underwhelm at Oregon? Actually, he has underwhelmed at UCLA. They should have had better years up until this year, winning only 4, 6, 7 games. That is underwhelming. That would actually be accurate for him. But to say at Oregon he underwhelmed because he didn't win the national title, something they never won. I mean, I just need to hear legitimate underwhelming statements.
Well, I mean, for Brian Kelly, since you brought him up, he did become the all-time winningest coach at Notre Dame, but he was the only coach there who didn't win a title, who got for the all-time wins.
Notre Dame doesn't get as good of players as Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State. And I'm gonna break some news on here. I'm gonna break it. If you don't have as good of players, you're probably not gonna win national titles. Oh my goodness, it's crazy. That's mind-blowing. You don't have as good of players, you're probably not gonna win the national title. I know. And that's the same. Jim Harbaugh doesn't get as good of players as Ryan Day or Urban Meyer. So therefore, Jim Harbaugh, unfortunately, hasn't been able to beat him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was he did last time, and it was tough. But, I mean, I'm wanting to see how it goes this year. So we'll see. And, you know what? I got a bonus pick'em for you. Ready? Liberty or Gardner Webb?
Oh, Liberty.
Yeah. I think they're going to be able to run away with it. I mean, after how they handled UMass last week, that was it's kind of nice.
Don't know if I'm going to pick Liberty over BYU, though. And I want to. But I don't know if I'm going to. I think BYU is a little better than Liberty.
What we'll do is I'll let you – you can add that to our picks for the week after.
That will be on there.
That's fine. And what we'll do is, since we're doing this a day early, some of the numbers may change, but this is what we picked right now. We do reserve the right to change if, say, either the pick 'em, like if the score goes up a lot or if it goes down. But these are the picks that I'm going to roll with this week. And, I mean, if it's something that's drastic, you and me will discuss it after the show and we'll – figure out if we need to change our picks.
If Bryce Young is not playing, will you change your pick with Alabama-Tennessee?
I think I'm going to keep it only because I think that with how Saban is, it's hard to bet against Nick Saban.
But you're going to go with the over and the cover on the road against Tennessee without Bryce Young?
I know they're going to hit the over no matter what. The over is not.
Well, like they did against Texas A&M.
They missed that by a touchdown, right? Actually, no. Didn't they cover?
No, they didn't. Did Alabama cover against Texas A&M?
Thought they did.
Are you joking? You're kidding, right?
Wrong about that. You know what?
You're completely wrong. There were 24-point favorites and won by 4
that's
points.
Right, that's right.
And had to stop A&M at the thing.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, no,
so I ask you again, and that was at home. That was at Bryant Denny Hayes Stadium. So that I ask you again, and I'm going to let you really think about this, Alan. You think the team that just beat Texas A&M and didn't even come close to covering and didn't even come close to the over, you think they're going to cover and get the over without Bryce Young?
Yes, because I have faith in that backup quarterback having a better week. You heard it here first. You can also get a hold of me on Instagram at alan.west.46.
Pray for Alan.
You can follow us on Twitter at TheSportsCast1 and visit us on our website, thesportscast.net. Make sure to check out our show schedules throughout the week. This is Alan West. That's Tyler Turner. Have a great one, and we'll see what happens this week.
Yeah.